There are about 8,000 people in prison in the North Country. Many of them came from big cities downstate, New York, Albany, Buffalo, Syracuse. And so their families, parents, partners, children, have to drive hours to visit. And they arrive in this rural place, not knowing much, hard to find a place to stay. A prison visit can be complicated, as well as emotional. We talked to one prison mom on today's Story of the Day.
Support for Story of the Day comes from Long Run Wealth, an SEC-registered investment advisor in Lake Placid, providing comprehensive wealth management, retirement, and financial planning solutions. LongRunWealth.com.
Hey, I'm David Summerstein. It's Wednesday, March 20th. First up, Potsdam had a send-off today for the Clarkson women's hockey team as they left for the NCAA Frozen Four in New Hampshire. The team's also known as Tech. Here's the celebration at Lawrence Elementary. The Golden Knights made it to the big national tournament in ultra-dramatic fashion on Saturday. Clarkson University forward Dominique Petrie netted the winning goal after, get this, four rounds of overtime.
Towards the goal, save it, rebound, and they score! Dominique Petrie!
The Golden Knights defeated the University of Minnesota women's team 3-2. Head coach Matt DeRozier says this team is a special one.
They've been great all year. They've put in a lot of hard work, and they've definitely earned it, and they definitely deserve it. So I'm just really excited for the players and the staff, for all the hard work and dedication they've put in, that it's paying off a little bit.
This is the sixth time the Golden Knights have been to the Frozen Four. They've won the national title three times, most recently in 2018. Clarkson faces Ohio State University in the semifinal round on Friday at 4 p.m. in Durham, New Hampshire. We finish our series on prisons this week with the perspective of a mother whose son is serving a 16-year sentence in the federal prison in Raybrook. She spoke with our Adirondack reporter, Emily Russell, about all the complications and expenses that come with visiting her son in prison. And she asked that we not use her name to protect her and her son's privacy. Here's their conversation.
So in order to come here for a visit, you have to save for weeks. I save dollars, five, and change, because you can only walk in there for the vending machines, which is very expensive. Then you got to have the gas, which is five and a half hours without the traffic to come up here. The hotels are very, very expensive. The cheapest hotel you can find up here is $159. Overnight is a two-day minimum stay, and you got to pay for cleaning. So you're talking $450 for the hotel. It costs me about $800 round trip to come up here. And then they tell you once you're up here, they don't even tell you early. Last night was 5:40. I got a call saying that, guess what? They just made announcement, visits canceled tomorrow. So
how often has it been that you've come up here or planned a visit and then that's gotten canceled or impacted by any kind of like lockdown at the facility?
So far, it's been five times since last February. Five times we've come up and they have canceled visits on us after being here. Sometimes it's you get to go in there Saturday and they cancel Sunday. That's a lot of times they do that. But you're still stuck paying for the two-day hotel.
What is it like? Can you just describe what it's like when you go in there and you actually get to see him? Like, what is that experience like?
At 9:45, they do a prison head count. So if you don't make it in the doors by then, you have to come back at 11:30 and wait online all over again. Once you get in there, it's really nice. It's nice. And the CEOs make you comfortable. You get to take a picture with your loved one. They get to, you know, you get to hug them, which is so very important. You know, they don't turn around and say, okay, enough is enough. You know, break it up. They don't do any of that.
How important are these visits to you and then to your son?
It's so important. It's important that he, in my outlook, that he's not forgotten. I come once a month, and if I don't come once a month, he always tells me it's okay, I understand. But you can tell that he really misses the visits. For them, a visit is super important. It gets them to see the outsiders. We care that they're not forgotten. We get caught up on life in general instead of just being frozen in time. For me, I think prison is a frozen in time. And if I come visit, I catch them up on the family. What's going on the outside? What has changed? What came out new? TV and pitches are important to keep them updated, to see the growth of others. I bring my grandkids up here all the time, and they're great inside. They really are great with kids. The kids run around. They never give you a hard time, the COs. They are really wonderful. The visits are wonderful. They have a kid room, you know, and it is nice. The visits are really nice. They have it set up very nice for the visits.
How is your son doing?
He's doing great. My son has a good head on his shoulders, and he was always the very laid back one. So if it had been anybody, it was him that could survive it. He does okay with the lockdowns are hard. I can only imagine. I could not stay in a room looking at a wall. And especially I try to give my son as much as I can tablets, you know, commissary. So when this does happen, he has something. But some of the other guys don't have that liberty, you know, for family to do something like that. But my son goes with the flow. He's okay. It hurts him. And he tells me that it's a lot of mind game, that you have to keep your head straight.
As a mother, what is it like for you seeing your son and hearing from him, knowing, you know, a little bit of what he's going through these last few years and knowing it? What's ahead of him with, you know, more years to come?
It is definitely heart-wrenching to see a loved one, especially a son, and knowing his background of a good, nonviolent, never, it was just drugs. And they need to set something else up than prison. You know, maybe a drug prison or something. But to throw the book at these people who have this addiction is horrible, and it's heart-wrecking to know that my son is going to come out so later in life and not have a family or to start a family. How do you start that? You got to find somebody to love. They're going to come out a totally different person no matter how strong your head is, and then they have to put you in a year of a halfway house. You'd be better off under house arrest. You know, what kind of life is he going to have? And I say to myself, am I going to be dead? Am I going to ever, if he does meet somebody and get a house and again, and a family, am I going to be able to meet those grandchildren? Because I'm going to be in my 70s and I'm young. So it's just heart-wrenching that his life is being wasted. And I know he did wrong. He made that decision. I'm not saying that, but I think the harsh sentence was ridiculous. And to see him go through something like that is just, please, mind games. I cry. I try not to because I keep my head on strong. Because if he sees me hurt, he's going to hurt.
That was the mother of a man who's serving a 16-year sentence in federal prison in the Adirondacks. She spoke with our reporter, Emily Russell. You can find more of this week's series on the North Country's prisons on our website, ncpr.org. And while you're there, fill out our new survey. On this first day of spring, happy spring, we're launching a year-long series about climate change in the North Country. And we need your help to orient us. It's such a huge issue. What questions should we ask? What should we pay more attention to? How are you coping? It's a quick survey about climate change. You can fill it out at ncpr.org/climate survey or just find it right in the middle of our homepage, ncpr.org. And if you'd like to text your answers, text the word climate to 315-978-6277. That's text climate to 315-978-6277. Either way, thanks so much for filling out our climate change survey. Music today by Mark Corey of Watertown and Jared Stephen Doyle of Potsdam. I'm David Summerstein, North Country Public Radio.